Consciousness Radio Program. Due to COVID-19 Level 3 lockdown, there is no darshan and Sunday feast until further notice. 2021 is Srila Prabhupada's 125th birth anniversary. Therefore, we will have Radha Padma Mataji reading from his biography called Srila Prabhupada Lila Amrita, written by Satsvarup Das Goswami Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Reading from Srila Prabhupada Lila Amrita. Continuing Chapter 2. Drawn irresistibly into discussion, Abhay spoke up in answer to the words Srila Bhakti Siddhanta had so tersely spoken in the first seconds of their meeting. Who will hear your Chaitanya message? Abhay queried. We are a dependent country. First, India must become independent. How can we spread Indian culture if we are under British rule? Abhay had not asked haughtily, just to be provocative. Yet his question was clearly a challenge. If he were to take this sadhu's remark to them as a serious one, and there was nothing in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's demeanor to indicate that he had not been serious, Abhay felt compelled to question how he could propose such a thing while India was still dependent. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta replied in a quiet, deep voice that Krishna consciousness didn't have to wait for a change in Indian politics, nor was it dependent on who ruled. Krishna consciousness was so important, so exclusively important, that it could not wait. Abhay was struck by his boldness. How could he say such a thing? The whole world of India, beyond this little Ultadanga rooftop, was in turmoil and seemed to support what Abhay had said. Many famous leaders of Bengal, many saints, even Gandhi himself, men who were educated and spiritually minded, all might very well have asked the same question, challenging the sadhu's relevancy, and yet he was dismissing everything and everyone as if they were of no consequence. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta continued, whether one power or another ruled was a temporary situation, but the eternal reality is Krishna consciousness, and the real self is the spirit soul. No man-made political system, therefore, could actually help humanity. This was the verdict of the Vedic scriptures and the line of spiritual masters. Although everyone is an eternal servant of God, when one takes himself to be the temporary body and regards the nation of his birth as worshipable, he comes under illusion. The leaders and followers of the world's political movements, including the movement for Swaraj, were simply cultivating this illusion. Real welfare work, whether individual, social or political, should help prepare a person for his next life and help him re-establish his eternal relationship with the Supreme. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had articulated these ideas many times before in his writings. There has not been, there will not be such benefactors of the highest merit as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees have been. The offer of other benefits is only a deception. It's rather a great harm. Whereas the benefit done by him and his followers is the truest and greatest eternal benefit. This benefit is not for one particular country causing mischief to another, but it benefits the whole universe. The kindness that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown to jivas absolves them eternally from all wants, from all inconveniences, and from all the distresses. That kindness does not produce any evil, and the jivas who have it will not be the victims of the evils of the world. As Abhay listened attentively to the arguments of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he recalled a Bengali poet who had written that even less advanced civilizations like China and Japan were independent, and yet India labored under political oppression. Abhay knew well the philosophy of nationalism, which stressed that Indian independence had to come first. An oppressed people was a reality. The British slaughter of innocent citizens was a reality. And independence would benefit people. Spiritual life was a luxury that could be afforded only after independence. In the present times, the cause of national liberation from the British was the only relevant spiritual movement. The people's cause was in itself God. Yet, because Abhay had been raised a Vaishnava, he appreciated what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was saying. Abhay had already concluded that this was certainly not just another questionable sadhu, and he perceived the truth in what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said. This sadhu wasn't concocting his own philosophy, and he wasn't simply proud or belligerent. Even though he spoke in a way that kicked out practically every other philosophy, he was speaking the eternal teachings of the Vedic literature and the ages and the sages, and Abhay loved to hear it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, speaking sometimes in English and sometimes in Bengali and sometimes quoting the Sanskrit verses of the Bhagavad Gita, spoke of Sri Krishna as the highest Vedic authority. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna had declared that the person should give up whatever duty he considers religious and surrender unto him, the personality of Godhead. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. And the Srimad Bhagavatam confirmed the same thing. Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsara nam satam. All other forms of religion are impure and should be thrown out, and only Bhagavad Dharma, performing one's duties to please the Supreme Lord, should remain. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's presentation was so cogent that anyone who accepted the Shastras would have to accept his conclusion. The people were now faithless, said Bhaktisiddhanta, and therefore they no longer believed that devotional service could remove all anomalies, even on the political scene. He went on to criticize anyone who was ignorant of the soul and yet claimed to be a leader. He even cited names of contemporary leaders and pointed out their failures, and he emphasized the urgent need to render the highest good to humanity by educating people about the eternal soul and the soul's relation to Krishna and devotional service. Abhay had never forgotten the worship of Lord Chaitanya and his teachings in Bhagavad Gita. And his family had always worshipped Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose mission Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was espousing. As these Gauriya Math people worshipped Krishna, they also had worshipped Krishna throughout his life. He also had worshipped Krishna throughout his life, and he had never forgotten Krishna. But now he was astounded to hear the Vaishnava philosophy presented so masterfully. Despite his involvement in college, marriage, and national movement and other affairs, he had never forgotten Krishna. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was now stirring up within him his original Krishna consciousness. And by the words of this spiritual master, not only was he remembering Krishna, but he felt his Krishna consciousness being enhanced 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. What had been unspoken in Abhay's boyhood, what had been vague in Jagannath Puri, what had been distracted from at college, what had been protected in by his father, now surged forth within Abhay in responsive feelings, and he wanted to keep it. He felt himself defeated, but he liked it. He suddenly realized that he had never before been defeated, but this defeat was not a loss. It was an immense gain. Srila Prabhupada, I was from a Vaishnava family, so I could appreciate what he was preaching. Of course, he was speaking to everyone, but he found something in me, and I was convinced about his argument and mode of presentation. I was so much struck with wonder. I could understand. Here is the proper person who can give a real religious idea. It was late. Abhay and Naren had been talking with him for more than 2 hours. One of the brahmacharis gave them each a bit of prasadam in their open palms, and they rose gratefully and took their leave. They walked down the stairs and onto the street. The night was dark. Here and there the light was burning, and there were some open shops. Abhay pondered in great satisfaction what he had just heard. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's explanation of the independence movement as a temporary, incomplete cause that made a deep impression on him. He felt himself less a nationalist and more a follower of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He also thought that it would have been better if he were not married. This great personality was asking him to preach. He could have immediately joined, but he was married, and to leave his family would be an injustice. Walking away from the ashram, Naren turned to his friend. So, Abhay, what was your impression? What do you think of him? He's wonderful, replied Abhay. The message of Lord Chaitanya is in the hands of a very expert person. Srila Prabhupada, I accepted him as my spiritual master immediately. Not officially, but in my heart. I was thinking that I had met a very nice, saintly person. After his first meeting with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Abhay began to associate more with the Gauriya Math devotees. They gave him books and told him the history of their spiritual master. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was one of the 10 children born to Bhaktivinod Thakur, a great Vaishnav teacher in the disciplic line from Lord Chaitanya himself. Before the time of Bhaktivinod, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya had been obscured by teachers and sects falsely claiming to be followers of Lord Chaitanya, but deviating in various drastic ways from his pure teachings. The good reputation of Vaishnavism had been compromised. Bhaktivinod Thakur, however, through his prolific writings and through his social position as a high government officer, re-established the respectability of Vaishnavism. He preached that the teachings of Lord Chaitanya were the highest form of theism and were intended not for a particular sect or religion or nation, but for all the people of the world. He prophesied that Lord Chaitanya's teachings would go worldwide, and he yearned for it. The religion preached by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is universal and not exclusive. The principle of Kirtan as the future church of the world invites all classes of men without distinction of caste or clan to the highest cultivation of the spirit. This church, it appears, will extend all over the world and take the place of all sectarian churches which exclude outsiders from the precincts of the mosque, church or temple. Lord Chaitanya did not advent himself to liberate only a few men of India. Rather, his main objective was to emancipate all living entities of all countries throughout the entire universe and preach the eternal religion. Lord Chaitanya says in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, "In every town, country and village, my name will be sung." There is no doubt that this unquestionable order will come to pass. Although there is still no pure society of Vaishnavas to be had, yet Lord Chaitanya's prophetic words will in a few days come true, I am sure. Why not? Nothing is absolutely pure in the beginning. From imperfection, purity will come about. Oh, For that day, when the fortunate English, French, Russian, German, and American people will take up banners, mridangas, and kartals and raise kirtan through their streets and towns, when will that day come? As a prominent magistrate, Bhaktivinod Thakur was a responsible government officer. He served also as superintendent of the temple of Lord Jagannath and was a father of 10 children. Yet, in spite of these responsibilities, he served the cause of Krishna with prodigious energy. After coming home from his office in the evening, taking his meals and going to bed, he would sleep from 8 until midnight and then get up and wrote until morning. He wrote more than 100 books during his life, many of them in English. One of his important contributions, with the cooperation of Jagannath Das Babaji and Gaurakishore Das Babaji, was to locate the exact birthplace of Lord Chaitanya in Mayapur, about 60 miles north of Calcutta. While working to reform Gauriya Vaishnavism in India, he prayed to Lord Chaitanya, "Your teachings have been much depreciated. It's not in my power to restore them." And he prayed for a son to help him in his preaching. When, on February 6, 1874, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was born to Bhaktivinod Thakur in Jagannath Puri, the Vaishnavas considered him the answer to his father's prayers. He was born with the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck and draped across his chest like the sacred thread worn by Brahmanas. His parents gave him the name Bimala Prasad. When Bimala Prasad was 6 months old, the carts of the Jagannath festival stopped at the gate of Bhaktivinod's residence and for 3 days could not be moved. Bhaktivinod Thakur's wife brought the infant onto the cart and approached the deity of Lord Jagannath. Spontaneously, the infant extended his arms and touched the feet of Lord Jagannath and was immediately blessed with a garland that fell from the body of the Lord. When Bhaktivinod Thakur learned that the Lord's garlands had fallen onto his son, he realized that this was the son for whom he had prayed. One day when Bimala Prasad was still a child of no more than 4 years, his father mildly rebuked him for eating a mango, not yet duly offered to Lord Krishna. Bimala Prasad, although only a child, considered himself an offender to the Lord and vowed never to eat mangoes again. This was a vow that he would follow throughout his life. By the time Bimala Prasad was 7 years old, he had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita and could even explain its verses. His father then began training him in proofreading and printing, in conjunction with the publishing of the Vaishnava magazine, Sajjana Toshani. With his father, he visited many holy places and heard discourses from the learned Panditas. As a student, Bimala Prasad preferred to read the books written by his father instead of the school texts. By the time he was 25, he had become well-versed in Sanskrit, mathematics and astronomy, and he had established himself as the author and publisher of many magazine articles and one book, Surya Siddhanta, for which he received the epithet Siddhanta Saraswati in recognition of his erudition. When he was 26, his father guided him to take initiation from a renounced Vaishnava saint, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who advised him to preach the absolute truth and keep aside all other works. Receiving the blessings of Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Bimala Prasad, now Siddhanta Saraswati, resolved to dedicate his body, mind and words to the service of Lord Krishna. In 1905, Siddhanta Saraswati took a vow to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra a billion times. Residing in Mayapur, in a grass hut near the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, he chanted the Hare Krishna Mantra day and night. He cooked rice once a day in an earthen pot and ate nothing more. He slept on the ground, and when the rainwater leaked through the grass ceiling, he sat beneath an umbrella chanting. In 1911, while his aging father was lying ill, Siddhanta Saraswati took up a challenge against pseudo-Vaishnavas who claimed that birth in their caste was a prerequisite for preaching Krishna consciousness. The caste-conscious Brahmana community had been incensed by Bhaktivinod Thakur's presentation of many scriptural proofs that anyone, regardless of birth, would become a Brahmana Vaishnava. These Smartha Brahmanas, out to prove the inferiority of the Vaishnavas, arranged a discussion. On behalf of his indisposed father, young Siddhanta Saraswati wrote an essay, The Conclusive Difference Between the Brahmana and the Vaishnava, and submitted it before his father. Despite his poor health, Bhaktivinod Thakur was elated to hear the arguments that would soundly defeat the challenge of the Smarthas. Siddhanta Saraswati then travelled to Midnapur, where pundits from all over India had gathered for a 30-day discussion. Some of the Smartha pundits who spoke first claimed that anyone born in a Shudra family, even though initiated by a spiritual master, could never become purified and perform the Brahminical duties of worshipping the deity or initiating disciples. Finally, Siddhanta Saraswati delivered his speech. He began quoting Vedic references, glorifying the Brahmanas, and at this, the Smartha scholars became very much pleased. But when he began discussing the actual qualifications for becoming a Brahmana, the qualities of the Vaishnavas, the relationship between the two, and who, according to the Vedic literature, is qualified to become a spiritual master and initiate disciples, then the joy of the Vaishnava haters disappeared. Siddhanta Saraswati conclusively proved from the scriptures that if one is born as a Shudra but exhibits the qualities of a Brahmana, then he would be honored. He should be honored as a Brahmana despite his birth. And if one is born in a Brahman family but acts like a Shudra, then he's not a Brahman. After his speech, Siddhanta Saraswati was congratulated by the president of the conference and thousands thronged around him. It was a victory for Vaishnavism. With the passing away of his father in 1914 and his spiritual master in 1915, Siddhanta Saraswati continued the mission of Lord Chaitanya. He assumed editorship of Sajjana Toshani and established the Bhagavad Press in Krishnanagar. Then, in 1918, in Mayapur, he sat down before the picture of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and initiated himself into the sannyas order. At that time, he assumed the sannyasi title Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was dedicated to using the printing press as the best medium for large-scale distribution of Krishna consciousness. He thought of the printing press as a Brihat Mridanga, a big Mridanga. Although the Mridanga drum had traditionally been used to accompany Kirtan, even during the time of Lord Chaitanya, and although Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati himself led Kirtan parties and sent groups of devotees chanting in the streets and playing on the Mridanga, such Kirtanas could be heard only for a block or two. But with the Brihad Mridanga, the big Mridanga drum of the printing press, the message of Lord Chaitanya could be spread all over the world. Most of the literatures Abhay began reading had been printed on the Bhagavad Press, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had established in 1915. The Bhagavad Press had printed the Chaitanya Charitamrita with commentary by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the Bhagavad Gita with commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and one after another the works of Bhaktivinod Thakur. This literature was a special heritage coming from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had appeared almost 500 years before. Abhay had been a devotee of Lord Chaitanya since childhood, and he was familiar with the life of Lord Chaitanya through the well-known scriptures Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. He had learned of Lord Chaitanya not only as the most ecstatic form of a pure devotee who had spread the chanting of the holy name to all parts of India, but also as the direct appearance of Krishna himself in the form of Radha and Krishna combined. But now, for the first time, Abhay was in touch with the great wealth of literature compiled by the Lord's immediate associates and followers, passed down in disciplic succession and expanded on by great authorities. Lord Chaitanya's immediate followers Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami and others had compiled many volumes based on the Vedic scriptures and proving conclusively that Lord Chaitanya's teachings were the essence of Vedic wisdom. There were many books not yet published, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was intent on establishing many presses just to release the sound of the Brihat Mridanga for the benefit of all people. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.